A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning. Let's talk a little bit about Joseph, shall we? We hardly ever do, but that's kind of natural because the scriptures hardly ever mention Joseph. Mark's gospel doesn't mention him at all, and none of them record a single word that he might have said. Today is his big scene. He has a real problem today, and he has to do something about it. He is betrothed to this young girl, Mary, which in the custom of the time means they are already husband and wife. They simply have not started living together. Marriage in that time was a process. Kind of still is, isn't it? She's pregnant. He knows one thing for sure. This is not his biological child. His wife is pregnant. He was not involved. That had to hurt deeply and on a lot of levels. Human emotion would call on him to expose Mary as unfaithful, an adulteress. The custom and the law of the day would then call on him to publicly cast her out of the marriage. And in that time, the very best Mary could expect would be that she and her child would be outcast from the community for all of their lives. At worst, but still within the law, Mary could be publicly stoned to death, and her child never born. This is what Joseph is facing. Yet Matthew writes that he is a righteous man, unwilling to expose her to shame, and decides to divorce her very quietly. He was a righteous man. It means he was a Jew who observed the law and the pieties of his people. He sought to do what was right according to the understanding and the practices of the time. Yet, he is unwilling to expose her to shame. Clearly, there must have been something deep, deep within Joseph that comes from his spirit that just could not live with the idea of punishing Mary and this child as the law would have them so mortally punished. His solution was to quietly end the marriage. It was his best effort at mercy. But notice he's still running away, removing himself from the situation. He's got to be in pain, don't you think? Disoriented, profoundly wounded by the apparent betrayal of the most sacred and intimate of covenants. But still, he seeks only to lighten the consequences that would befall Mary. It's the best he can manage on his human level, and it's extraordinary for the time, for any human. But then comes the dream and the angel and Joseph's great act of faith. Remember Mary's earlier response to the angel in Luke's gospel? Let it be done. It's the pivotal moment in her life, and it has consequences for us right now. It's why we're here. And she had to know the same kind of things would be coming into her life from the customs of the day. Yet she says, let it be done. And now Joseph's response is not with words. He's a good, strong, silent male. He takes action. And it becomes the pivotal moment in his life and continues to have consequences for us here today. Please note the same initial words from the angel to Joseph, just like the words to Mary. Do not be afraid. That's the invitation to faith for both of them. It says, take the next step in the assurance that God's love enfolds you and God's Spirit will remain with you to see you through to wherever you are going. If you have the faith to follow, move forward one step at a time. You will find yourself finally where you are meant to be. Those four words from the angel, do not be afraid, are in the first chapter here of Matthew's Gospel, and they're repeated in the last chapter of Matthew's Gospel. There they are, the words of the risen Jesus, the risen Christ leading his disciples toward the mission that we all say we want to continue to be part of, even today. I want to offer you a couple of questions to consider today. One, what deep hurt am I being invited to allow God to heal in myself so that I might become an instrument of mercy in the world way beyond my mere human ability? And two, what is the next great fear that I am being invited to overcome in order to boldly build up the body of Christ right now? When we process together for communion, I want to invite you to silence the voices of fear and injury and separateness that might be nagging at you today. In the simple movement of our procession, in the silence of our communion prayer, allow yourself to hear instead the voice that comes from the deepest part of your true self, from the God who is present everywhere and always. The voice that says, do not be afraid. The voice that says, look, the one who lifts us from our broken human condition into the fullness of life, the one who restores our relationship with God, with eternal, unfailing love, that one is with us. The one who was born into the world in Bethlehem is inviting us to bear him today into our world as his instruments of mercy and love. For us, as for Mary and Joseph, the way ahead is frequently obscured from our vision, often obstructed, and always full of unexpected twists and turns. Nonetheless, we also have that same ancient invitation to faith. It starts with the promise that is implicit in those four words. Do not be afraid.